Welcome, cool cats and kittens, to another episode of
Project Unreal,
right here on the Project Nerd Podcast Network. Each week we're joined by a special professional comedian guest and a rotating panel of Project Nerd personalities. And we all engage in a little long-form improv. Things stop being real and get very unreal. Can you dig it? Hey, what's going on, everybody? Q here with another extremely exciting episode of Project Unreal. I know you all are itching for an opportunity to get unreal, and this is it, my friends. Now, we are joined today by a very special guest, the one, the only, Mr. Z. What's happening, Mr. Z?
You know, hang out, doing my thing, doing comedy stuff with you. So that's going to be good times, right?
I love it. Well, at least one of us will be doing comedy. I very rarely know if I am successfully doing comedy or not. Yeah. And occasionally we'll get pinged by the audience. We'll be like, that wasn't funny.
That wasn't funny.
You're not good at it. And I'm like,
Right.
That's all subjective.
My kids always tell me it's only a joke if people laugh, right?
That's true. Now, to be fair, I've spent most of my life with people laughing at me. So I guess I must be a very, very funny person, I suppose. Maybe. Hopefully they're not. Hopefully they're laughing with me and not at me, right?
Right.
Now, I am so excited to have you join us on this episode. And just to give you a little breakdown of how the show's going to work and our new audience, for the old heads, they already know how this is going to go. But for those new folks out there, you are listening to the one and only unscripted show on the Project Nerd Network. Now, the way this is going to work is every week we're joined by another comedian guest, and they join me or maybe a rotating panel of Project Nerd personalities for a little unscripted improv hilarity. Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to send Mr. Z a character that he has never seen before. He's going to be getting a name. He's going to be getting a very, very generic, general description of this character. And then we are going to do a Project Nerd style interview. So in a few minutes, I'm going to send that off. He's going to get a chance to look over it, and then we're going to dive right in. Now, I have to ask, I know that we were chatting before we started recording, and you had said that you are a regular on the Omaha comedy scene. Where can people find you? What kind of stuff you got going on?
Sure, yeah. You know, I'm at a Wired pub every Thursday night hosting an open mic, a Comics Anonymous open mic. We call it Comics Anonymous because we host it with no host and no list. You just show up, we open the mic, and you get up there and you tell your story and you get back down. Woo! So we run it like a meeting, if you will. We have a good time with that. We do a little podcast beforehand where we interview comedians and do that kind of thing right ahead of time. We actually just rolled that project out. Our maiden voyage is going to be this Thursday. So, and then we do regular shows. I've done shows down in Lincoln. I do shows. I've got a show scheduled to come up in Grand Island. I get around with the comedy stuff. So here in Omaha, though, you know, the best place to find me is at Mr. Z Comedy on Facebook and through Comedy and Chaos on Facebook as well. Those are the two places to find what's going on. So, and then Z-Track Productions. I don't know if you can do that. That's another place where we post events as well. So, you know, we're pretty easy to find. But at Mr. Z Comedy is probably your best resource if you're looking for Mr. Z specific stuff. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I told you that, you know, sometimes my comedy may be a hit or miss for people. So I have to ask you, as a comedian, have you ever like had one of those moments where you walk in front of the audience and it's like, even before you get started, you know, it's going to be a tough sell.
You know,
you think of like a story off the top of your head where you like knew going in, you were like, oh, this is, I don't know that this is going to go over.
Sure. And a lot of it comes down to my own personal vibe that I'm putting off, you know, that I think that has a lot to do with the energy that you carry on stage. I had taken a road trip to Denver to do a show out in Denver, And I rolled in there right at the last minute. And, you know, Denver's such an outdoorsy town. They got people camping in the streets there, man. Like, you know, literally like every street there's people camping downtown Denver. So I got there. I found my way into this club. They gave me a hard time about wearing a mask, which I, you know, I didn't have one with me because everything was done. The mandates were done at this point in time. Why am I? But I had forgotten that private businesses. So that immediately set off my vibe, like set me off, sure. kind of being feeling like I was being attacked. So and then the audience started to pull in a little bit, and the audience is a little bit younger. More the millennial age group. And I can just tell as they're coming in, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have a hard time with this because I tell some dad jokes. I tell some kid stories. I tell teacher jokes, you know, things that are relatable to a lot of people, but people that are maybe younger or just getting to college life, it's not their shtick. They want to be shocked and awed.
Sure, totally.
So I immediately got up there and I did my thing, and it just wasn't I wouldn't say I bombed. People still laughed. Where they were supposed to laugh. I just didn't get the usual laughter that I'm used to getting. I didn't get the usual crowd responses that I'm used to getting. Most of that I blame on my own energy that I carried on the stage. Sure. But some of it, you know, you got to blame Denver. So
I try to blame Denver when at all possible.
I just figured they were all too high to get my jokes, right? That's
sure, totally. They're like, I don't even know where I am, man. I don't even know what's going on. I thought this was a dispensary, man.
That's right.
Now, conversely, what is the best stand-up experience that you've had? Like, what place or time can you think of that you just went out and just the audience was just so on and tuned in that you feel sure. like you just crushed it?
You know, I had a fantastic weekend where we did Friday night and Saturday night, two shows on both nights, and each and every session was a different sold-out crowd, and I was a feature set that night, so that was absolutely the longest set length that I was given the opportunity to do. Basically, you got your host, you got your opener, you got your warm-up sure. guy, you got your feature, you got your headliner. And man, that experience was just amazing. I felt like such a rock star all weekend. You know, people coming up to me after the show, thank you for being funny. We really appreciated you. The guy that put on the show, I was told by him directly that I'm his girlfriend's favorite comedian. He's also a comedian. Nice. I'm his girlfriend's favorite comedian. I said, as it should be, of course. But that was a great experience, right? Getting to feel that livelihood and just that great energy that comes from that venue down there is a really good spot. That one's down in Lincoln. So I look forward to getting back in that room again, too, because it's a good little spot.
Well, that's got to be nice. I got to ask. So as somebody, I know you said you've been doing comedy for a couple years now. Obviously 2020 was like the year of not doing anything in front of people.
Sure. You would think that.
What did you do to stretch your comedy chops in the meantime?
Sure. So I did a lot of, I tried the online comedy thing.
Sure.
And I immediately realized I didn't like that. I realized I'm not that type of comedian. I'm a sure. dive bar comedian. Put me up on a stage with some lights. So we took a little bit of downtime, but we effectively kept hosting shows throughout the pandemic. We just followed CDC guidelines. So we kept holding. So we had a venue that was quarter capacity. Well, guess what? We sold it out to quarter capacity. People That's were awesome. Wearing masks. People were doing all the right things. But we still hosted events and still did shows. And we still have people turning out to do that. So we really didn't have a lot of downtime. Before the pandemic, we had really just started ramping up. And we were doing 2-3 shows a month. During the pandemic, we dropped down to one show a month. We committed to doing at least one show a month. And then we rolled out the open mic towards the end, which gets us out there every Thursday. So that's essentially a weekly show that we're doing. And then now that things are starting to come back together, my inbox is starting to fill up with people like, hey, I got the show coming up. Hey, are you available? That kind of stuff. So it's really nice to see things opening back up and us getting back on track. So
I love it. I've been obsessed with recently, not even recently, but over the past year or so, I've been watching a lot of, it's become very popular for comedians to post heckler roasts online. Have you seen this? Like how this comedian handles a heckler. Have you ever had to deal with that? Like on stage, you ever had to deal with somebody who just wouldn't shut up or some drunk guy gone?
No, well, yeah, you know, no. I've not had that.
That's
I've
awesome.
Seen it happen. I've watched it happen. I've seen other comedians deal with it. I've never been in that situation. Some of it, you get people that will maybe make a comment here or there, and it's like usually can nip it in the bud by making a quick little clip. Oh, so I'm glad you're here. You know, that kind of thing. And I don't know what I would do without you. Or, but then I also take the time to remind people that I'm a teacher at the beginning of most of my bits. And then if they're not careful, I'll call on them, even if they don't have their hand up. So they better be on their best behavior. So there will be a quiz. So, you know, I think it's been a lot of my experience that, hecklers are out there.
Sure.
And it's just when you give them the opportunity to heckle. And I try hard in my routine, in my act, not to give them that extra cushion to heckle. You know, and that comes from a public speaking background. It comes from a teaching background where you don't want to give up control of a conversation, so you don't ask a question. Where a lot of comedians invite audience participation by saying, okay, well, how many of you folks are married out there tonight? How long you guys been married? And then they want to be part of the show because it opens that floodgate. I don't do that. That's not my style. So I'm more of a storyteller. I'm more of a, hey, I got you with this little quip kind of guy, trying to catch you off guard and that kind of stuff.
Sure. But,
I'm mostly focused on, I control the stage rather than giving up that control. So,
yeah, I dig it. Well, I can tell you now, you're going to have full control of this stage in about 30 seconds, because I feel like we've had a great conversation. I'm excited to dive into this. And so I say that for a few minutes, we stop being real and we get a little unreal. What's going on, everybody? Q here with Project Nerd, and it is time for another interview. Now, you guys know that we get the best guests from all over the planet, all walks of life, all sorts of professions, and today is no different. We are joined by someone who has quite possibly one of the most unique professions of anyone that we have interviewed here on the show before. So I am very excited to sit down and introduce our guest today. It is none other than Patrice Poppy Lazzarini. Did I say that right? Poppy?
Lazzarini. Poppy. They call me Poppy.
Yes. Now, people are going to be fascinated when I tell them what you do. Should I call you Poppy or do you prefer Patrice?
You call me Poppy.
Okay. All right, Poppy. Now, I'm going to ask you this. People are going to be blown away by the simple fact that you are an executive now, and I'm not even sure that I understand how this position works. You're an executive space chef? Like, you prepare food in space? Is that correct?
Oui. Yeah. I prepare the menus for all of the space flights.
Now, I do have to ask this. I know that oftentimes food is dehydrated before it is sent into space. So are you rehydrating it and working, or are you just kind of like mashing up different dehydrated foods together to make something new?
The process is impossible for me to reveal. I don't know how I do it. I simply take what I have and I produce something that they want.
Sure. Well, sure. I mean, that's, I imagine that's what makes you the executive chef. But can you tell me a little bit about the science behind it? Is that something that you can reveal here on the show, how that works?
Absolutely. First, you prepare the meal. Then you remove all the moisture.
Sure.
And then you package the meal. And then they can re-add the moisture later.
In space.
If they choose.
Sure. I mean, you could technically eat your meals on Earth as well.
Or on the way to space. It's their call. Sure.
If they need a snack
on the way,
then they can just dive right in.
Dive right in.
Now, what is your favorite meal to prepare for space travel?
The Bongi Mon Tani Littatini Focaccine.
Uh-huh.
Prego. It's my favorite meal.
Let me see if I can get that back. The Bonnie Mangini Prego. Did I feel like I missed something?
Nardini.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes, got it. And yeah. What exactly is that? What does that consist of?
Oh, so you've got the noodles, you've got the vegetables, you've got you've got the potatoes.
Oh,
Poppy loves the potatoes. Yeah.
Well, everybody knows that. Poppy is a huge potato fan.
Yeah. Then spices. You add the secret. The secret is in the spice.
Now, what kind of spices are we adding, Poppy, for this meal?
It's a secret.
Oh, sure. It's a secret. Well, of course. I know that specifically recently, we all know the billionaires are making a break for the space, right? We've got Richard Branson's making a break for space. We've got Jeff Bezos today went to space for like 5 minutes. Have you prepared any meals for any of these flights?
All of them. All of them have had the touch of Poppy.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, what can I say? What can you let us in today? We talked about Jeff Bezos going to space. What did you send with him? What did Bezos request food wise on his flight?
Peanut butter and jelly.
That's it. Simple.
That's it. Simple.
Basic. I love it. Did you put any sort of like Poppy flair on
the peanut
butter
and jelly? Yes, I put the Poppy spice in there. Yes, of course I put the Poppy spice.
I love that. Now, here's a question everybody wants to know. Crust or no crust for Bezos?
He's very crusty.
Got it. So extra crust.
Extra. Two of them.
Two crusts.
Two
Got
double
it.
Wraps. Yeah, I mean, it's crust. Not easy to keep the man happy, but you take the crust off of one bread and you wrap it around another bread and then you double it up. And that's how you do it.
But if it's not easy to keep Bezos happy, but if anybody can do it, it's Poppy.
Poppy can do it. Poppy is the man.
Now, I have to say, have you yourself ever gotten the opportunity to travel into space?
Oh, you will never catch me on one of those death traps.
Anti-space. Poppy will happily make food for outer space, but is not traveling to space.
No space
for. All right. Now, what happens if somebody, you know, writes a big enough check to Poppy to join them on the space flight and prepare food in space? Is that something you'd even consider?
So there has been conversation about space cruises.
Yes.
And Poppy could potentially consider, if the price was right, preparing some food for these space cruises as well on the space cruise. But Poppy does his best work in an Earth-based kitchen.
Sure. Of course. I mean, I understand. I myself like to know that the ground is under my feet when I am doing most activities.
Yes.
I'm not a big fan of flying in general. Personally, is that same for you, or is it strictly space travel? You're just I'm fine to fly.
I saw that rocket Bezos went to the space in today, and I have no interest in being inside one of those.
Sure, I understand. Now, let's be honest, and I want your take. The internet has been blowing up. It looks like he went into space in a giant penis. Is that your take? Do you feel like? Okay, so he did.
Yes, today. Sure. Today they sent a dick into space, also a rocket.
That's so true. Yeah, that is accurate observation. Only somebody as renowned as yourself would have such an astute observation. Now, I do have to ask as well. I know that there's been experimentation with sending non-dehydrated food into space. Is that something that you are interested in, or do you think your meals are better if they are prepared, dehydrated, than rehydrated?
If I could just get those engineers to get their act together so I could send my food the way it's intended to be into space, that would make me happy. If I did not have to remove the water.
Sure. So it's an extra. So what if that is something that bothers you? Can I ask why you would go into being a space-based executive chef in the first place? Why not just a plain old, you know, terrestrial Earth-based chef?
I like the paychecks.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's fair. They just pay better. So what you're saying is they just pay better than the normal client.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Four times as much.
Have you ever done any work for, say, like NASA as a whole, like preparing a menu for an entire flight crew? Or is it strictly kind of the like privatized billionaire flights that you provide food for?
The billionaires have been the mainstay of my breadwinning. Sure. But as you can see, I love America.
Sure.
And I would love to help the American space program with their nutritional needs. So NASA, so right now, if you would like, you could please reach out to me and I would be happy to contract with you.
You hear that, NASA? Reach out to Project Nerd. We'll be happy to get you in touch with Poppy here. And he would love to make his delicious, delectable peanut butter and jelly sandwiches as well as many other culinary treats for your space cruise. Now, if you could prepare a meal for one famous person, who would that person be? If you had that opportunity, anybody you want.
One famous person alive?
Yes.
Mm.
Well, dead people don't eat a lot normally.
Normally, no. Is Walt Disney alive?
He's, well, debatable. Maybe.
I think he is. So I would prepare a meal for him. And then I'd figure out how to feed it to him in his frozen head.
Perfect. Now I have to ask, what would that meal be? What do you think Walt Disney would like?
Oh, he would prefer a breakfast meal. Walt Disney loves his breakfast with the eggs over the flame. Not on a pan. No, you have to put it right direct over the flame.
Just over the flames.
Just right over the flame. It's a process. You have to have super hot flame. Super hot flame. And then you crack egg.
And it just drops. Cooks.
It cooks in the spot. And you have to catch it. This is why Papa gets paid the big dollars.
It's dangerous cooking, it sounds like.
Dangerous
it's
cooking.
It's very experimental. Definitely cutting edge, for sure.
Very healthy.
I don't think I've ever seen flame cooked egg, but I tell you now, I would be very interested.
If you saw that on the menu, you would order. I know.
I definitely would. Definitely. I feel like that's something that would have to be prepared table side, right? Like a hibachi. Like that's something the person would want to like witness. You can't just like serve somebody an egg and be like, trust me that I dropped it over a flame and caught it as it cooked.
That's a neat trick. Yes.
That's an amazing trick, but that's why you're the best. That's why you get paid the big dollars. Now, have you ever sent food for one of these customers, one of these billionaires that they hated?
They're all crap. They all have crap taste. Sure. They all have crap taste. So if they tell me Poppy's food, your food is no good, I tell them your taste is crap.
Sure, that's fair. Because, I mean, that's obvious. Everybody knows who you are. And that seems insane. You know, you're like the Gordon Ramsay of the space world.
Only taller.
Essentially. Taller, yes. And less British. And way less, more French.
A lot less
British. I mean, people listening right now, they can tell how French you are.
Very French.
Just by the way that you speak. I mean, it's obvious.
If only they could smell me, they would really know.
If we could dive into a little bit of what made you, what did little Poppy want to do as a child? Is this always the dream to be a chef?
No, Poppy dreamed of being an opera star.
Ah. And?
Poppy cannot sing.
Oh, but Poppy wanted to be an opera star, but Poppy cannot sing.
Cannot, no.
So that dream died pretty quickly.
Very quickly. Then the next logical step was to become a chef.
Sure. I mean, when you know what they say, those who can't sing, cook.
Sure. Well, you got to have the fat lady that sings for the opera. Sure. So totally. To cook for her.
It would be an honor. It's the next best thing.
See,
I understand that. Now I have to ask as well, what part of France are you from originally?
Mostly from the south north section. Southeast
section of France.
Section sure. of France. Yeah.
Of course.
What is out in the middle of fields?
Sure. Just out in those northwest French fields.
The French fields. South.
Yes.
Yeah.
South French fields. Now I have to ask, what as a child, obviously you were very inspired by French cuisine.
French fries, French toast, all of them. I loved all of them.
What's your favorite childhood French delicacy that you remember that really sparked that desire to become a chef?
Had to have been the French dressing.
Sure. Classic French delicacy.
Classic French.
Yeah. Everybody knows that comes from France. Now,
sure. And my great grandfather had told me at one point in time that nobody can ever make French dressing better than the French dressing. So sure. I decided I would make a better of the French dressings.
And you did it?
Poppy style.
Sure. Ah. Poppy seasonings.
Poppy seasonings. Yes.
Everybody knows. Now I have to ask. I know you mentioned the cooking the egg over an open flame. What people don't know, and this is an exclusive we're breaking right here on Project Nerd, is I understand that that is how you cook all of the food that you prepare. It's all cooked over an open flame, including your very famous poppy French dressing.
Oh, well, the secret is out.
It's flame roasted.
Roasted. That hint of smoky flavor.
You have to pour it out and catch it in your hand as it...
Oh, no, you use a spoon. You don't use your hands.
Oh, of course. Of course. That's ridiculous.
Don't be ridiculous.
That's why you're the chef and I'm not, right? I mean, come on. Otherwise, I'd be making those billionaire big bucks. Now, yeah. I mean, clearly, from listening to this, people understand, like I said, you're extremely French. And it's somewhat obvious, and I hope you don't take this as an insult, that English is like a second language to you. So,
three of them, yeah.
If I could ask you to inspire the people listening to this podcast with your most inspirational French phrase, something that just really speaks to you at your core, what do you say to the listeners in French, in your native tongue? What do you say to them?
To them, I say, "Bon bel ami."
Mm-hmm. And what does that mean?
I don't know. I just heard it one time.
And you loved it.
I loved it. It's like the opera. It rolls right off the tongue.
It inspires you.
Inspired.
I love it. Well, I'm inspired, Poppy. I appreciate you coming on. I'm sure our listeners are inspired. Can you tell them? I hear you have a book coming out soon that kind of details all of your space food kind of exploits. Can you announce here on the show what the title of that book is?
Yeah, it's How to Not Kill a Billionaire
with Food. By Poppy Lazzarini. By Patrice Big Poppy Lazzarini, the famous French space chef. Thank you so much for joining us, Poppy. I sincerely appreciate it. I hope you'd come back. I would love to try some of your food sometime, especially the flame cook egg. That sounds amazing. We're gonna go ahead and put a disclaimer: nobody try and do that at home.
Only the Poppy can do that.
Only Poppy can do it. He's the only one, and you got to pay him those big bucks if you want it. Maybe the network will spring for me to try one of your flame cooked eggs. Everybody, thank you so much, Poppy. And everybody out there listening, make sure you tune into Project Nerd for all of the most amazing, interesting interviews with amazing people from around the world. And until next time, I'm Q, and we'll see you in space. Oh, man, Mr. Z, you're killing me here with this. Oh. That was beautiful.
Ridiculous.
That was très magnifique. I laughed. I got an appetite. It was all of the things I was looking for out of solid improv comedy, right?
Nice.
I want to eat things. I have an interesting new fact about Jeff Bezos that he loves double crusted peanut butter and jellies. That's fact. Nobody needs to fact check that. You heard it here.
No, don't even think about it. Don't even fact check it.
It is 100% accurate. That's the truth.
Only the insiders know the truth.
That's true. That's what people listen to Project Unreal for. They want to know the truth.
Right.
You know, we're like truthers. We're just like breaking the news. Now, where can people again find you, Mr. Z? I'm sure that our listeners are interested to find more. So where can
so they the best place for my comedy resource is at Mr. Z Comedy on Facebook and Instagram. I post one post a day. I'm not going to spam you. I just post one post a day every day at 420, the 420 funny. Nice. So we do that every day. And then I'll post updates for shows and performances coming up on there. But again, I try not to spam. I use my other sites. If you want to get into the spam, you can go follow Z Track Productions or Comedy and Chaos. Those are places where I post all my events and all the action for the comedy shows that I'm producing. But when I'm performing, you'll see it at Mr. Z Comedy. So
killer. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Z. You've been a fantastic guest. I sincerely appreciate it. I'm sure that we will have you back again in some form or another across the Project Nerd Network. So thank you so, so, so much. And in the meantime, folks, if you like this show, make sure to check out project-nerd.com for all of the nerd goodness that we can possibly bring you. We've got 13 plus podcasts across the network. We have a YouTube channel filled with videos to fill your nerdy little hearts. And we have a website that is tons and tons and tons of nerd news to keep you satisfied. And until next time, I've been Q, and you should keep it real.